In this episode, we're talking about video conversion as a science.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right, been a long time. Big apologies. I've just been friggin' crazy busy. Still pursuing this ginormous project and deal, this opportunity that I teased you about. It's taken up more time than expected, but it's all headed in the right direction. And as soon as I can finalize everything, as soon as I can get the deal signed, then I'm going to come right here onto this podcast. I'm going to tell you all about it. You'll be the first to know. Big stuff's developing. The Wirebuzz crew is about to hit the road. We're going out to Boston for a huge client project. We're probably going to have about 6 members of our team out there crushing things on behalf of our client. We're creating testimonial stories from their best customers. We're also have created a series of videos that introduce their newest product. And what I love about this is before you can have the event, before you can introduce your new product to the public, you have to create the video assets. And you also have to make sure those video assets are visually stunning and the team that you're working with has already been handled with non-disclosure agreements so they can't talk about the new product that hasn't arrived yet. You know, think about Apple. When Apple rolls out a new device, doesn't matter what it is, all those assets are already created because the day they're announced is the day that the world visually gets to see it in action. Not just the device moving around, but people using it and what the different use cases are. All that needs to be created in advance. That's what's going down behind the scenes. And by the way, that is not the ginormous project that I've been teasing for far too many months. That thing is coming down. Wirebuzz is so busy that we're already sold out through the next 2-3 months with our work, and I'm still plugging ahead because, like any good CEO, I like to make sure that we have plenty of work coming up down the road. Now, I want to talk to you about conversion. I think conversion is one of the most important areas in marketing. And unfortunately, conversion isn't talked about. Like it should, everybody should be talking about the path of converting their prospects into a customer. I mean, if we could focus on that and we could start to, you know, if we could start to obsess on what your prospects are going through, and what's going to get them to yes, and how you optimize that, you're going to get better results. Conversion is the act or process of changing from one form state to another. It's the act or process of changing from one religion, one belief, one political party to another. And in the world of business videos, it's about how you take a prospect and convert them from a prospect into the next phase, which is a client or a customer. And so in this episode, I want to talk to one of the best conversion scientists in the world. Dude wears a lab coat. And we're going to talk about conversion and video. In fact, let's do that right now. All right, let's go out to Austin, Texas right now. I'm joined by Brian Massey. He's the founder of Conversion Sciences. He's the author of Your Customer Creation Equation and a rare combination of interests and experience developed over 20 years as a computer programmer, an entrepreneur, a corporate marketer, and an international speaker. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Wow, this guy sounds awesome.
And Brian, I am a nerd for the conversion process. So before we get into conversion and we explain that, give me a little bit of your backstory so we all know where you're coming from.
Backstory. Well, I'm trained as a computer scientist, so I got my degree in computer science. That's what makes me a scientist, I guess. Had enough social skills that I decided I didn't want to sit in a cubicle and program all day, so I went into sales when
Which makes you a rare computer scientist.
It makes me what?
A rare computer scientist, because you have the ability to interact and schmooze, and you're charismatic, I could already tell from a few moments. Put you in a rare group.
All right, I'll take rare, not even medium rare. Did not work out in sales that well. Maybe I have an authority problem, and in sales you have to be more of a servant, I think. Anyway, I ended up starting my own company in the 90s. We did website software consulting, particularly with graphics. Dot-com bust took out a couple of our customers, which took us out. I spent the early part of the double aughts building the backend website backends for technology companies. So marketing, entrepreneurship, computer programming, sales, there's really nothing else I could have been but a conversion scientist. So in 2007, I put on the lab coat and started doing this, and it's been awesome.
All right. I love this. I'm a fan, and I listen to the podcast, but I'm also a conversion nerd who would be a regular at somebody like Tim Ash events over the years, at SiteTuner events, and one of the things that I am typically talking about, like if I'm at a cocktail party with somebody, is how we convince and convert at faster rates and what the conversion process is like. And normally, I get people that are like, whoa, whoa, what's conversion? Do people ask you this all the time like they ask me?
Yes, they do. I have a pat answer, and then I have the same lame answer that everybody else does.
Nice.
But the pat answer is that conversion is like a conversation without the TNA.
Yes.
Beyond that, conversion is just, you know, getting more from your investment in traffic.
It's yeah.
Ultimately, what most of us are talking about is that post-click on the site or on the landing page experience. We also spend a lot of time strategically trying to get another shot at people. So we're doing strategies like remarketing emails, remarketing ads, and things like that. But for the most part, we're focused on them having an amazing experience when they get to your digital property.
Beautiful. Love that. For years, I've noticed that the gap between a very successful marketing plan and one that doesn't perform is the people at the front end that are laying out that strategy are all focused on the conversion process. And I'm sure that over time, you've seen that also. Brings me to this central thought that the people I think that should be developing or laying out the website, that should be the ones that lead on those projects, are the conversion scientists and not the graphic designer or not the video creator or the animator or maybe even the head of marketing. What do you think about that?
You know, we like to build landing pages backwards. So if we're starting from scratch, we start off with what's the offer.
Yes.
You know, we do that research, and most people will. But when you start off with the template, you find yourself, for instance, typically it happens like this. Hey, we need a new landing page, or hey, we need a new website. The designer will come in with wireframes and start saying, okay, how would you like this to look? I've had people bring me wireframes with lorem ipsum sit dolor
yeah.
in the copy and asking me if it'll convert. And I'm like, there is no way I can tell you that. There's no way I can tell you. When you start with the offer, when you build the copy around it, when you manage anticipated objections, and then you let the designer do his or her amazing thing, guiding the eye, you're going to have a much better landing experience. But designers can't increase your conversion rate. They can do things to get in the way of it, but it's the copywriters, it's the people putting together the images, the people putting together and researching the positioning and the message and the offer. Those are the people that are going to really move your conversion rate.
Yep, Absolutely. And I spend a lot of time teaching companies about who are the wrong people to be laying out their site. And for some strange reason, it's like light bulbs are going off in their head because they consistently go down the path and then can't figure out why people aren't taking the right steps. And it's that the wrong people are laying it out. I'll give you a little example. There's a esthetician facility or a plastic surgery facility that approached us, and we helped them, but we also let them know we created their videos. It's a small part of the big puzzle, but we also noticed that their graphic designers were laying out the page, and the end story is they went by design or aesthetics, like their industry teaches, instead of the functionality and the business goal, which is a recipe for disaster. Now, we specifically are focused on the power of video as a business tool. And on Video Marketing Mastery, we talk about how you use video in the conversion process. How does video increase conversion rates on a homepage, Brian?
Well, so the big question here when you ask that question is you're asking what percentage of my audience prefers video or will be persuaded by video? That's really what you're asking. So that segment of people who would watch the video, how big are they? And then we can start talking, and if it's a significant size, we can start asking, how do we get more of them to watch the video? And for those people who don't watch the video, video can actually have a very positive impact on their conversion rates as well. So I think that's the first question. We see different results on landing pages versus home pages. So I can dive into all kinds of different specifics just from what we've seen in our
All
tests.
right, well, let's talk first about home pages, then from there we'll branch out into landing pages. How does that sound?
Cool.
All right.
Did you have a specific question, or
Well, I'm just interested
you want to
in,
hear what our playbook is?
well, I'm interested in talking about the homepage, about the use of video, and then once we go from there, I can kind of drill in. Like, naturally, there's a proper place for a video, and there's a devalued place for a video on a homepage. Where in Brian's world is the appropriate place for a video to live on a business's homepage?
All right. Well, I think it's at the top because there's a couple of things happening. There is a segment of your audience that is going to play that video. Now, I'm not talking about hero area video where you've got cityscapes and people walking across streets and high speed freeways,
You're talking like a
that's
background video that's ultimately distracting.
Yes, the background street is ultimately distracting. That's just going to slow your load times
Right.
down. But I'm talking about a video that's designed to move your value proposition forward. And the video does a couple things. It seems to build trust. So what we'll find is if we add video to a homepage, we'll see an increase in conversion rate, and it'll be larger than the number of people that are watching the video. So we expect around a 9 or 10% of the visitors to a homepage to watch, actually click play on the video. And then the quality of the video will determine how far they go into it. But we'll see an increase in the conversion rate for those people that don't play it as well. And it implies a couple of things. Number one, that having video on the site builds a certain trust. This is a legit custom company. They've invested in video. Perhaps that's what's happening. But the title card is really, really important. What goes on that first image, what has a little triangle on it, very important. And it's going to impact people who play the video as well as people who don't. And as you know, the right title card can get more people to play.
Right.
A caption title card would be one of the first things I would test. So it not only is an image that gets them, makes them want to play, but it says, "Watch this video for," and it can also be done in a caption underneath. But that's what we found. So on the homepage, we have a higher percentage of people watching video on the landing page, but usually the landing page is what they're clicking through for
Right.
on the video is.
Isn't that interesting? Like, a lot of people have this misnomer that the homepage is like the foyer of the home where 100% of the traffic goes through, but the reality is more like a house with teenagers, and the blog or the landing page are the teenage bedrooms that have windows to the outside that more people are coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a teenager. I don't have kids.
I love that analogy.
Right?
They're climbing in.
I mean, most of the traffic's going to come from a landing page or a blog. You agree with that, right?
Yes. I mean, most of this, the organic traffic is certainly.
That's right. All right. So on a landing page, let's talk about the value of the video. And I think you would agree now that video also should be up towards the top. It's one of the most valued assets for somebody that comes to that page. But how does that increase conversion?
How does the video increase conversion?
Yeah.
Well, if it does a great job of making the buyer better at buying, that's great. The thing about video is it really can accelerate things. I can have great copy and great images, but when I've got 24 frames a second, 30 frames a second shooting at me, I can really do one of two things. I can really move the value proposition and the understanding forward, and I can really screw the pooch.
Yeah.
So it's the sort of thing that you want to test. You want to get the right length. A lot of times video is like copy. Like, long copy will get read if it doesn't mm-hmm. suck. It's harder with video, though, because there is just it's such a powerful medium. So, yeah.
You know, are you familiar with Donald Miller, StoryBrand?
I am not.
Okay, so I heard him speak recently, and he was making the point that when you provide massive clarity, people buy at faster rates, but when they experience confusion, that's when they don't buy, right? That's people don't buy through confusion. And what I love about that on a landing page about a product or a service, when you have a video that supports the copy on the page that's created by somebody that's already understood the logical thought sequence that's going from the top of the page to the bottom of the page, it's moving somebody through the journey, and you provide massive clarity, you get a higher conversion. But that really, it shouldn't be like a big light bulb moment for anybody. It's anytime you can show and tell, people have a better idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and on a homepage, you can do a really good job of letting people know that they're in the right place. And that really is the first question. Like, am I on a homepage that's going to get me closer to solving my problem? Mm-hmm. You can read through the jargon that's on the page, or you can have a video. People generally do a better job of scripting videos than they do of writing copy. I think that might be one of the reasons these explainer videos are doing so well.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about that. What is it that makes you say explainer videos are doing well?
Well, so we've tested explainer videos and have seen substantial increases. So mm-hmm. We don't do a lot of videos, so it's a sample size of two or three that I'm talking about where I've been exposed to the rates of those things. But we will see people more comfortable purchasing on the two that I'm thinking of were really small, like, not instead of catalog e-commerce, they were single product e-commerce sites. So where you're selling a single product, you need to explain what it does. The explainer videos seem to work really, really well.
All right, so one of the questions that – oh, by the way, you and I are both speakers, and one of the things that audiences ask me all the time is about autoplay on video and the impact that it has for people. And I think we would both agree that if you go onto a website that's going to autoplay or a web page that's going to autoplay, your first reaction as a viewer is – holy crap, da-na-na, nobody in the office should know that I'm watching SportsCenter right now and ESPN is firing it up. And that automatically creates an annoying reaction. So I think we would both agree that autoplay on a page that you just automatically load is probably a bad idea, but there are other ways that you can use autoplay. What's your take on autoplay and conversion?
You know, this is one of those things where common sense gets thrown out the window. So autoplay almost always works. And in fact, one of the early tests we did, actually it was a before and after test. We didn't even A/B test this, but it was an addiction treatment center.
Mm-hmm.
and it autoplayed someone walking out onto the screen. You remember the hosts that would walk out on the middle of your web page mm-hmm. and say, "Are you struggling with an addiction to gambling, drinking, drugs, or sex?"
Yes.
And that was one of the first things that she said. And we turned it off, and for traffic coming through the homepage, we saw it was like a 5 or 10% drop in the number of people reaching out. So while you would say that's a bad thing to do because everybody's hearing what's going on, in this case, the data didn't bear that out. But the rule of thumb that we use is if you're promising video and you're bringing them to a page, like a landing page, video should autoplay. It should just go.
So that's right. If you like got an email, just so I can provide some vision for the audience. If you sent an email and it's got a thumbnail with a play button and somebody clicked on it and goes to a landing page, that should autoplay because that person has already declared to the digital universe that they're expecting something to play, right? Yeah. But then on the flip side, a page that they go to without knowing there's a video on it should not autoplay.
I would agree with that. Okay. I would agree with that in the playbook. Now, that doesn't mean that I think you're going to have to determine because you might find autoplaying even in a surprise scenario like you said will help you out, will increase things. If you've got a video that doesn't start off with your company logo doing something awesome, and I've even fallen into that trap because we have such an awesome intro.
Right, but nobody cares.
If you don't do that, you can play the video in silent mode, and I know that Wistia and Vimeo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if YouTube is YouTube probably is because Google's all about not having videos autoplay on at least on mobile. So if you've got an opening that like brings the person visually into your story, then autoplaying the video without the audio I think is a great way to go. If you're just doing a logos thing, then you're probably not going to get anybody interested.
Yep. So you found that when you started with the logo, a lot of people were dropping off and not getting into the video.
Yeah, you can see it in the the attention graph where there's just this huge drop while your logo is playing, and you can make that go away by getting rid of that. And jumping right into the story.
Just get right to it. It's like when you're watching a new James Bond movie, they are starting right in the middle of a chase scene and the credits are rolling. Before you know it, you don't go from 0 to 60 in like 2.3 seconds. You go to like 0 to 200 mm-hmm. and the next thing you know, you're in the middle and your heart is racing and the excitement is building. And that's one of I wouldn't recommend doing a chase scene in your business video, but what I am recommending, like you are, is let's just get to the point and let's not make people wait. We were approached by probably the largest medical professional organization in the country, and they called me and said, "We just spent $65,000 on a video and we've been following you for years, but the video didn't convert. Can you look at our back end and see what happened here?" And it was so obvious. It would take you about 20 seconds to figure it out like me. And there was no words. For 25 seconds, it was just visually stunning. It was like the guy wanted to create an Academy Award. This is when you have the aesthetic person or the graphic designer or the videographer that really should be in Hollywood and not Toledo working on your video, right? They're not a conversion scientist. And so they created this thing that just failed. And when we looked on the back end, everybody was gone by like 11 seconds. And there went the $65,000, you know? Yeah. So that's always a sad thing to see. I'm sure you have examples in your life where people don't think conversion first, correct?
Yeah, video, you know, design is so easy for us to criticize and for us to critique.
Right.
That's where we go. That's where we spend most of our time instead of thinking about strategies and the designs that are going to make people more comfortable and confident taking action, which is what we ultimately want people to do. But, you know, not every website is about improving the performance of the website.
Right.
A lot of times it's about internal politics. It's the, you know, the new CMO, he or she coming in and wanting to do something visual for the, you know, that everybody can see. So, you know, in our case, we just have to be good about picking our clients.
All right. So, talk to me about that for a moment. That's a big, juicy topic. Who are the type of companies that Brian Massey and your team can help really move the needle with conversion?
Well, so, you know, we tend to work very well with businesses where we are we're brought in by someone that reports directly to the owner, or some, a lot of times we're working with the business owner. So we love this mid-market because everybody is very focused on the bottom line. As we for our more enterprise clients, it's not worse, it's just that they're motivated for some very different things. They typically have a brand that they have to step gingerly around.
And I'm giggling because all my clients are in the enterprise space. So you just handled that in the most delicate way possible. I would have been a lot more abusive.
Well, you know, I can get a little uppity about, like, your brand isn't this brittle, is it?
Can yes.
You know, but, you know, like in the financial services space, you know, we work with Citibank Advantage, and like small mistakes in that space can be cause a big problem.
Yeah.
Big hit. So you begin to understand why their cultures are like this, and that it's important that they do that. But with data, we talk about data is great because it's going to increase your conversion rate. You're going to make more revenue. You're going to have lower acquisition costs. You'll be able to spend more on your advertising. But I think that the real payoff, both for our mid-market clients and our enterprise clients, is executives that have confidence in what you're doing, because you can say, we tested this design. They don't feel like they have to come in and say, I wouldn't do this, or I don't like this experience, or I don't like this color, or whatever it is. So helicopter executives. Managing your agencies, when an agency comes to you and says, here's three designs, pick the one, you should say, no, go collect some data and tell me which one's going to win. That's a fair thing to say, and data really allows you to have that conversation. And then we tend to be very careful, especially in some of our bigger companies. We want to be very, very careful with our brand. But if you have a crazy idea that might really rock things, that might really improve things, you can use some of these tools to collect some data and see if maybe this really is going to be an interesting idea, right?
Are you saying all the decisions are in the data? You mean if you look at like thousands of people that are going through a site, you can develop some type of a insight on what people prefer and what they don't prefer and how you can create a better experience that gets more people to convert, right?
Well, yeah, in the data, but you can, if you don't have that sort of data, you can install a hot jar or a crazy egg and see how people are interacting with things. Mm-hmm. Go to Validately or user testing and have 50 people try to solve a problem with the page you're designing, or answer some questions about the page you're designing. Try it with each of your designs and see which one communicates the best to them. Sticky.ai, you can do an eye tracking study. You know, have 100 people look at your creative and see how their eye is progressing across it. It's a huge help. So we're in this golden age of data.
Yeah.
A/B testing is only the end result. After you've eliminated all these others, you go to A/B testing to really collect the best data.
All right. So for the listeners, what Brian just did, if you listened carefully, he just saved all of you 3 years of frustration. And you know I'm right, dude. So if you start off doing your own research and questioning every assumption, the best marketers question every assumption, especially their own, and you allow your audience to tell you what works best and where they get confused. Geez, where they get confused is where you can eliminate leakage, where they fall out of your sales process, and you can retain more through the rest of the funnel, so they can drop through and convert.
Yeah.
I recommend you guys go back and listen to that part, because as Brian just shared, he saved you a lot of frustration. Brian, sometimes I tell people, look, here's my strategic recommendation based on the 2,700 client videos we do a year and which ones convert at higher rates. And I know you're asking me to create a short video, but of all the videos that we do, the longer videos, even when they have a short sister video and a taller, you know, brother video, the longer one always converts at a higher rate, because the people that get to the end are buyers. And then they push back and they go, no, we just want a short one. And then normally I will say something like, and this is where I'm just on the cocky side, I will say, well, let me create both for you, because I already know that you're going to get better results with a slightly longer one, maybe not a 30 second, but a 2 minute or something like that.
Wait a minute. We're not all goldfish? Oh my God.
Right. Right. Which is a total misnomer. That's a big myth.
If I hear that again,
I know. So I grew up, Brian, I grew up with really bad attention disorders. And I am a success story of the nation's leading academic support program for students with attention disorders on campus at the University of Arizona. I'm a member of their alumni advisory board. I work with students with attention disorders. And then by day, I work with clients and customers that don't have attention disorders. They have a plethora of options. And that's completely different than an attention disorder, right? It's a whole different world. The goldfish thing is a total joke. What are the most important things? You know, when laying out a video on a page, what are the most important things that people need to be considering?
When laying out a video on the page, you know, that actually is a fairly complex
question. Yes, it sure is.
Question.
But you're wearing a lab coat, dude.
I'm just kidding. A lab coat. I want to pull Tom in to have this conversation because he spent years doing videos that convert, and he's got the answers to this.
Yeah.
But if I was to summarize what I have learned from him since he's been with us is never give in on – never assume 30 seconds is the best. Never assume short is important. Where you place the video on the page is directly in proportion to how good your title card is. So if you've got a crappy title card, push it down, and you'll get those people who are scrolling looking for more. We call them the humanists, the methodicals, are looking for more clues about what you do. You know, if you're promising the video, or if the page doesn't work without the video, then up at the top.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have any like pearls of wisdom, though. Are there anything you're struggling with that we may have tested?
Well, you know, I'm always struggling with the pattern that the eye goes through. Mm-hmm. I think if you understand the pattern that the eye goes through, you have a much easier time channeling people towards your most valued assets. Do you spend time researching the eye path and how that works with conversion?
Yeah, you know, the two things we first do whenever we start with a client is we will run a few user testing or validately, you know, 5 or 6 people through it. And we just see, like, that's where you get your face plant ideas.
Yeah.
And then the next thing we love to look at is on, especially on longer pages like the homepage or long form landing pages, look at the scroll.
Yep.
Depth. And if we see that it's dropping off, we know we've got some easy problems to fix there. And then, you know, as we dive in, we love the heat maps tell us what's going on. We can look at the analytics and see where things are broken in certain browsers. And so those are the easy things that we usually get. But the answer is yes. We love to dive into those things.
And then does video affect the load speed of pages? Do you also look into that?
We do, but it doesn't have to.
Okay.
So if it's an autoplay, you're kind of stuck loading that video, you know, ahead of time. But for most folks, if you're not going to autoplay, then you know, we load the video on click, so the player doesn't even load. And it depends on what template you're on, what CMS you're on. But that's our preference, because you know, load time really can affect your conversion rates.
Yep.
If it's not above the fold, then it's a little bit nicer, you know, if you want to go ahead and load it and autoplay it further down on the page.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me what are some of the things that you're working on now that would give people in the audience an idea of the type of work that's like your bread and butter?
So, you know, we've had a lot of e-commerce companies join us. So we're probably 70% e-commerce, catalog e-commerce. Mm-hmm. Companies at this point. And so the thing about e-commerce is it's a little bit harder to let copy carry the day, but you know, copy, the words that you choose, you know, in headlines on landing pages and things like that are where the real gold is, because you can you really connect with people with the words. So finding those places on a catalog e-commerce site where you can't go in and change every product description.
Right.
How do you use words to differentiate yourself in the commodity areas? And so navigation, the words on your main navigation is turning out to be this real goldmine. If we can find the right words, oftentimes people will come to us with products, services, and that's not helping people understand if they're in the right place. So
right.
Bring more specific words to that navigation, and whether they interact with the navigation or not, we're finding an increase in conversion rate.
Yeah, that's cool. That's just like the video, right? Whether they're interacting with the video or not, you find it has an effect on the conversion rate. That is so cool. What about customer journeys? You know, there's a lot of companies out there that have multiple types of personas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of creating unique customer journey pages for the different personas based on their pain, their frustrations, their concerns, as a way of signaling that you not only identify with them, but you service them and you know what their needs are and how to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
How do those journeys affect conversion when you look through it?
Well, if we've got the journeys, it can be immensely helpful. So we can say we're going to provide either a different experience for each of them, or we can place on the conversion beacons on different parts of the page. So on like a home page or a landing page that's serving pay-per-click ads where you're not that sure which of the personas is coming, you can identify which the short fuse personas, they get their content at the top, those offers at the top, the shiny objects for the spontaneous guys. So we tend to drop people into a little bit bigger buckets than personas. The thing about personas is that what people don't do is go through and pick out all of the ideas and turn them into hypotheses, put them on a list, do a little analysis, rank mm-hmm. them, and decide which of those is going to be either rolled out or taken to an A/B test.
All right. Now, Brian, I think you might be one of the best people to ask this question. When the page goes live, is that the end of it, or is there more conversion optimization after it goes live? Talk to me about that, because I've got a follow-up question for you.
That's when you get the juiciest behavioral high, you know, these are your prospects,
yes.
your customers trying to solve their problem. The largest number of them you're going to get. That's the best, juiciest data. Why wouldn't you use that to make things better?
Okay.
You knew I was going to say that.
Yeah, I did, because I try to like give clients the awareness or the view that their page or their website or journey is a lot like a race car, where the first day is not when you show up at the Indianapolis 500. The first day you run it around the track, you look at the data, you see where you can improve, and then you build towards race day. And that's with optimization along the way. But what I see is a lot of marketers that have had long careers that span a couple of generations tend to think that when you launch it, it is done and we move on to the next project, as if it's television, print, radio, and there is no data to look at, right?
You know, and that's probably what's driving that. It's the madman style of
yes.
development.
Absolutely, dude.
I mean, right now, anybody who's doing web design should be able to say, listen, I'm going to redesign your website, or I'm going to redesign your landing page, and I can guarantee that my design is going to be better than the design that you have. Now, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to design it for 6 months and then push it all out, because I've gotten two calls from people whose conversion rate was cut in half
yeah.
because they did a website redesign the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
But anyone can guarantee – not only that, but you're going to start getting a lift in your conversion rate within a couple of months, not waiting 6 to 12 months. Why wouldn't anyone sign up for that?
Yeah.
It's going to be completely redesigned. It's going to be the new brand. It's going to be exactly what you want. But we're going to guarantee you're not going to shoot yourself in the foot. I could go into some stories of big brands that spend millions of dollars and end up with like having – if they're smart, they can roll back to their old site.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's really an interesting time. All right, tell people about your podcast, where they can learn more about you. I know your website is conversionsciences.com, but where can people find out more about Brian?
So I would go to conversionsciences.com and check out our blog. We teach everything that we're learning. We started in 2007, so I think we've helped invent this industry and probably brought a few of our competitors along the way, and that's absolutely fine because every website's going to have to go through this.
Yep.
Absolutely check in if you have a long commute, check in on Intended Consequences of the podcast. You can find that at intendedpodcast.com or through the website. And we're really looking at line marketers and the people that manage those marketers and understanding how data can be applied to everything from PR to picking an agency to landing page, whatever data can be applied to, we talk about how all of us have access to it and should be using it.
So cool, Brian. As a nerd for this topic, I appreciate you taking a few moments. You know, my wife and I did a romantic getaway. You had no idea we were going to talk about this in this podcast. My wife and I went to Austin for the weekend. We stayed at the Van Zant right off of Rainy Street.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went bar hopping on Rainy Street. And for
dangerous.
Yeah, right. Then if anybody doesn't know, it's all like it's a residential neighborhood that's been flipped into bars. And we just had such a good time. We love the city that you live in and we value the information that you just shared. He's Brian Massey. He's the founder of Conversion Sciences. It's conversionsciences.com. Brian, thank you so much for joining me on the Toddcast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
A lot of fun, man. All right, so you just heard from Brian Massey. You know, video is a really interesting thing. It's a beast unto its own. And one of the things that I'm so lucky about is we've got massive data here because we do so many client videos in a year that it's easy for us to see what works and what doesn't and to optimize our process. But the act of optimizing the conversion process is a daily commitment. And most of the answers live inside of the analytics. But there are some tricks that Brian and I alluded to. I'll spend a few moments on this. Before you launch anything, have friends and family or even friendly clients go through the new site, go through the new customer journey, study them as they go through it, and you will discover where all the drop-off spots are. I call them leakage. That's where a lead or a prospect is in your funnel or in your knowledge transfer and they drop out and they leak. Excuse me, I had lunch a little while ago. And that lead just doesn't convert. And that's a lot of wasted time. It's a lot of wasted ad dollars. And the more clarity you can provide, the less certainty into the prospect's head, the higher their conversion rates, the better your ad dollars will be. And that's why it was important for me on this episode to talk with Brian, to talk to you about conversion, to get you starting on the thought of thinking about these videos just aren't entertainment. They're also the process of moving somebody through the act from being a prospect to being a customer. And then the next stage is how you convert a customer into a raving fan that goes around the world and tells everybody about you. I was on a call this morning with my banker. Banker was like, dude, how do people even know about you? And I said, well, you know, I am a marketing agency. And he goes, yeah, but like where are most of your, I know this guy. So it wasn't, you know, I was just having a normal conversation with the banker. And every business owner knows you should have a good relationship with your banker. So we were just chit-chatting, and he said to me, how do most people find out? He goes, well, most, that's our existing customer base that become raving fans because we've converted them because now they're believers. They drank our Kool-Aid. They've gone through the process with us, and now they go out onto the world, and they evangelize on our behalf. So my wish for you is that, one, you know how to convert your customers from prospects into clients, and then you know how to move them into the next stage where they rave. And when they leave their current place of employment and they go and take a new job because you helped make them so successful that they just landed a mega raise, that they bring you on the journey to the next place as part of their essential travel team from one company to the next, which is what happens for me each and every time. But you can't get there if you're not the trusted advisor. Trusted advisor gives guidance, leads them to the promised land, and is always there and available to work through problems that they experience. That's the trusted advisor's responsibility. By the way, it's a great book, Trusted Advisor. I recommend you read it. Our team here at Wirebuzz read it after one of our clients was like, dude, you are my trusted advisor. You should read that book. And we did, and it was valuable to us. And naturally, I think one of the big keys is for you to figure out how to guarantee ROI on your videos. And as such, I created a 5-part web-based video mini course where I teach you my secrets and the Wirebuzz secrets for guaranteeing that your videos generate ROI. And yes, conversion's a big part of that process. You can get access to my 5-part web-based mini course. It's free to the listeners of this podcast. And you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI. 3 little letters. It changes everything for a business. And if you want to figure out which videos will be profitable for your business, we have a worksheet that you can go through that the team here created with me. And it's free for you also, and you can get access to that worksheet where you can select the right topics for your business at wirebuzz.com/topics with an S on the end. Look, I've been doing a lot. I've been speaking all over the place. I've been speaking 2-3 times a week because what I'm doing right now, a lot like Chris Rock before he does an HBO special, getting myself massive amounts of reps. So when I hit the big stage, when the big lights are on and the stadium of people are there, I'm ready to get up there and crush the power of video marketing to help businesses convince and convert más rápido. On behalf of the team here at Wirebuzz, I'm looking right now at the big nerd, Marcus Krieg, through the glass as he's helping one of our lead copywriters work through an issue. On behalf of Marcus Krieg, Christina Romero, Tim Allwell, Susan Bailey, and the rest of the Wirebuzz team. Jason Fair, I didn't forget about you, bro. I know you're one of the hardcore listeners of this podcast. On behalf of the Wirebuzz crew, we wish you guys continued prosperity, more podcast episodes coming, and thank you for being patient with me while I'm dealing with an enormous amount of work that's taking us to the next level. Peace.